All right. Well, welcome everyone, wherever you're watching around the world today. We want to get a little pick up there, wherever you are. Say hello to someone.
Hello.
Say something. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, there we go. I heard Merton, Heller, and how are you? So we're so thankful to continue to be in our series, guys. It's such an honor and a privilege to get to gather here together today in God's house, whether you're watching around the world throughout the week, or you're here in person smiling at me. I just want to let you know, I'm so thankful for each and every person that is here all the way through. We turned this gym into a church, and not only that, we have all kinds of fun, sweet treats as we continue our series called Best Summer Ever. So you make plans to be here. So before I get in here and talk about what we're going to walk through today as we learn how to live life to the fullest, many might have missed because there is a plethora of diabetic coma over there for breakfast. However, before we go, I have some. Who likes Twix? Anybody a Twix fan? I see some Twix. There we go. There's one. There's another. Anybody like peanut M&Ms and regular M&Ms? That's all I got left. Peanuts and regulars. There we go. Whoever wants a... Oh, that's a regular one. Here. As she holds a baby. Look at that talent. She had both. There's another. I don't know. I left this whole side of the room out. I'm sorry. But that means you got to go get some. So there is some candy there. It's going to make sense here in a second. We are continuing our series called Best Summer Ever. We wrapped up Psalm 23 last week. And today we're going to be going into Philippians 2 and hanging out there for just a minute. But the reason I'm sharing that with you is really, we have a family here. We're so honored to be a part of the Vine fam. It's a privilege to get to do this each and every week, lift Jesus' name high and worship, diving into his word and building community together, growing deeper roots. So the reason there is candy that was given out today, if you paid attention to what the candy was, perhaps, is this. We're going to talk through humility today, but this is why we can talk through humility. All of us innately yearn for something bigger than us. At the time that we recorded this, wherever you are, wherever this is in internet worlds, in the interwebs, on the line, if you will, wherever this is, over the past 2 weeks, we've had the first commercial space flights go into orbit. You know, we've seen some guys, now don't at me, don't talk to me about how they should spend their money and what they should do and how they should do it and why they should do it and all that crazy stuff. We'll talk about that in a minute, but quite honestly, I don't care about that mess. I'm just thankful it's cool because even if you hate on them for doing it, if somebody gave you a free ticket to go into orbit, I'm pretty sure you would take it all day long because I would too, right? Like all of us would. That's pretty cool. And the reason that that's so important is we see that there's something beyond us. There's something greater than us. There's something bigger than us. Thus, the candy that was passed out was Mars candy because it feels like no matter what, Mars seems to be the next place we are going to go in the space frontier. So there was some Mars candy given out today. Shameless plug, don't kick us off the interwebs for it. So there's some Mars candy that was there given today because we yearn for something bigger than us. And when we yearn for something bigger than us, it satisfies us. The right thing satisfies us. So wherever you are right now, we're going to be in Philippians 2. And so just to say, when it comes to being bigger than us, maybe you're kicking the tires of religion, you're kicking the tires of Christianity, kicking the tires of who Jesus is, and you're just trying to figure out what this is all about. Well, I want to let you know the entire Bible, front to back, is about something bigger than us. And Philippians 2 is a chapter in the Bible that helps us reconcile the fact that there is something bigger than us and the part that it plays on our life. So much so, it's going to talk about the incarnation of Christ, the incarnation of Christ. So if you got your Bible, get to Philippians 2. If you don't have your Bible, we'd love to give you one free for the asking. Our Vine production team works really hard every week to make sure you can see wherever you're watching around the world, the scripture on the screen, but you can also follow along with us on our Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app, and when you download it today, you're going to see the sermon notes, place where you can even send in your prayer requests, learn about what the Vine is about, and you're going to find out we're about Jesus. Go, you'll see. But you'll see everything that the Vine's about. So if you, wherever you are today, if you want to go ahead and get to Philippians 2, and we're going to talk about this thing called humility. Now, I want to start by saying I gave some sweet treats. It's not meant to beat you up. I want to talk to you about how Jesus has taught me through humility. But there is something that we have to say is if we are imitating Christ in all we do, we'll have to walk in humility, which means we can't have pride. So if you got your Bible, let's get to Philippians 2 and read this letter from this guy named Paul who writes this letter to the early church in Philippi. So here it is. Verse 1 through 2 says this. Therefore, which means you would have had to read chapter 1. We'll get there in a little bit. It's about joy. We'll get there. But therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. What Paul is saying here is if we want to live out in humility, we've got to do what Jesus said as he went to the cross. He goes straight to John 17. What did Jesus pray for? For us to be unified. So if we want to walk in humility today, wherever we are, the first thing we got to do is live unity in love. Live unity in love. Now, this is what I'm getting at. When we said something bigger than us is something we yearn for, the wrong thing will push us away from God. The right thing will push us towards God. And when we're going towards God, we'll walk in humility. And Paul says, well, here's how you can walk in humility today. Wherever you are, here's how you can walk in humility. Live unity in love, specifically the love of Christ. Because Jesus came to unify us. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to be really controversial, but not really. I'm just saying that. You know how people preface that? It's like when people say, don't stress out. What's the first thing you do? You stress out. Like, what in the world? Like, don't be mad when I tell you this. I'm like, my anger meter's going to 7,000. I know you're about to tell me something's going to make me mad, right? So I'm going to say this. Satan does come to divide. But here's the thing. He also unites us in death. So Jesus came to unite us. Satan unites us in death because of sin, but Jesus came to unite us in life by what he has done. So Satan divides us from being united with Christ, but in Satan, we are united in death, in sin. So this is what I'm trying to say. You're either united with Satan or you're united with Christ. There is no in between. And if we want to live a life full of humility, we want to live a life walking in unity, we have to walk in the love of Christ. Because the division that Satan does is when we're united with him, we're always going to see our differences as something to divide us. So he does divide us, but we're united in death in him. So that's the controversial thing, and somebody will at me, whatever. I'm saying, spiritually speaking, I'm saying with Satan, we're united in death. United in death. So here we go, as I'm playing with this right now. Here we go. So live unity in love. When Paul's writing to the Philippian church, just really quickly, Paul's this guy, he murdered Christians, his name was Saul, he didn't believe Jesus was who he says he was, and he met Jesus on a road, was blinded, is crazy, is on his way to kill more people, and he sees that Jesus is who he says he is by being blinded. How crazy cool is that? So then Paul goes out and starts the first franchise in churches. He goes out and franchises. He plants churches all over the known world, and how they communicate is through letters. And a lot of times what will happen is Paul goes in, he's a tent builder, he builds community, he gets in with everyone, and as he gets in with them and builds the community, he builds up the leadership, then he goes to start the next church. And so this letter to Philippi, this is how Paul communicates with the church in between his visits. He's writing them back and forth. So we call those what? Epistles, right? Like as we go there, Paul is doing that. So as he is writing these letters, the Philippian church is diverse. It is made of prisoners. It is made of people that Paul met in prison. It is made of business people. Think of Lydia going through. It's got rich people. It's got poor people. It's got business people. It's got pastors. It's got missionaries. It's got sinners. It's got people who are in Christ, people who aren't in Christ. It's got a big diversity of people. And so they write Paul saying, how can we be united when we're so diverse? How can we be united when we're so diverse? Wherever we are, how can we be united? So Paul is writing them back saying the first way to do it is to walk in the love of Christ. So this is what I want to talk about when it comes to living out unity in love. As we live out unity in love, here's what I want to talk about for us, wherever we are. This is what Jesus asked me, if I'm really living unity in love or not. And it's this, and this is a question for all of us. What does it feel like when someone is better at you in something that you love? How do you feel? So when someone's better than you at something that you love, how do you feel? How does it make you feel? Are you happy for them? Are you upset about it? Do you try to be better than them? Like, how does that make you feel? Because it's going to tell you the condition of your heart. And that's the hardest thing in the world to deal with. Somebody who's better, like, hey, for instance, there are NFL players that are so much better at football than I am. Am I jealous because they make bajillions of dollars? Like, no. Is that even a number? I don't know. But am I jealous of that? Or do I support it? Do I encourage it? Am I happy about it? Somebody's better at business than you. How does that make you feel? Somebody drives a better car than you. How does that make you feel? Somebody's got a better address than you. How does it make you? Somebody's better at being a parent, you think. How does it make you feel? And parents, if you ever feel that, I just want to tell you, you're great at what you do. Don't worry about what other parents are doing. God's gifted you with that blessing that is your child, and you're raising it to the best of your ability. As long as you're in Christ Jesus and you're doing the best to point that child to Jesus, you're doing the right thing. Don't worry about how everybody else is parenting, right? So Paul goes on to say this, and this is what Jesus got me. So here's the question, wherever we are and whatever we're doing, here's the question for all of us. Even our best intentions will come up short if it's about us. So in other words, maybe I cheer that person on that I feel good about. Maybe I don't. Whatever that is, wherever we are, whatever that looks like for all of us. So hang on just one second. I'm going to fix something really quick. I'm going to grab this. Is that okay? Are you good with that? I'm just going to grab this. My bad. I'm playing with microphones today. I was playing musical chairs. Is it all right if I use this one? Whoever's using this after me, don't worry, I won't sing. Totally my fault. There we go. I'm just talking. All right. Sorry about that, guys. That is totally on me. I went with a cheap solution, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not better at that than I should be. So what I did is I had a new microphone I was playing with, and honestly, I haven't got it figured out. So here's what I'm getting at. So now that I've lost you in the static, we're going to draw back in. Is everybody with me? Say amen. Yes, we're back in the house of the Lord, wherever you are. So if this makes me sound great singing, praise God. I don't know, because our worship team always does a great job. So diversity in the Philippian church, they're diverse. There are people that are all different types, apes, shapes, sizes, shazes. I don't know what that is, but they were there too. Whatever that is, there were all different types of people there. So Jesus came after me, honestly, and he's helped me to say, Tyler, how do you feel if somebody's better at preaching than you? How do you feel if somebody's better at praying than you? How do you feel if somebody's better at real estate than you? How do you feel if somebody's better at running drugstores than you? We'll get to that in a minute. How do you feel if somebody's better at leading than you are? Do you encourage it or do you get mad about it? So for us, what I'm trying to get at is our heart, the condition of our heart will show if we're living out the unity and love with Christ. And if it comes to us and it's not about Jesus, then we're not united in the love of Christ. What I'm trying to say when it comes to all of that, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, when it comes to that, cue the Travis Tritt, the prophet Travis Tritt. You can have the best of intentions from the start, but it'll always fall apart, right? Even if you had the best of intentions, if it's not Christ, it will not unify. And this is what is struggling in our culture today. It is trying every way but Christ to unify, and we can't figure out why it won't. That's why here at the church, we have the better conversation because Christ is the only answer. It doesn't matter. There's not a government that will save. There's not a dollar that will save. There's not a career that will save. There's not a tax level that will save. Only Christ can save. And if we want to live out unity and love and actually be a light to the world, it shouldn't matter what the world is doing and what the world says because the world is going to do worldly things, but we get to be the light to the world. And how do we do it? By living in unity with love. The church is the place that represents heaven 100%. And so we should bring that into the world and we should be unified over everyone else and over everything else. So much so that it shouldn't matter, like we said, how you baptize. It shouldn't matter the version that you read 100%. There are some things you can go at. If you are pursuing Jesus with all that you are, then you can live out unity and love. And it can mean that even if that person is better than you and they disagree with you, there's a seat for them at your table. Because there's a seat for it at my table because Jesus made a seat at his table for me. That's what we just talked about in Psalm 23. So for each and every one of us, if we want to walk in humility, to live unity in love,
and live life to the fullest, it's got to be about Jesus and his love. Otherwise, it'll always fall short, even if our best of intentions are there. Like, you know, it's like, this is going to sound bad, but it's kind of like, so like for me, okay, here we go. I'm going to be real. So for me, it would be like me trying to play a musical instrument I was no good at. All right? I could bang the crap out of some drums. That's just me. That's what I was good. But it was not what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I was like, who wants to play drums, man? Like, that's crazy. Who wants to do that? But yet I got there, I played steel drums. Yeah, go figure. Steel drums, all kinds of crazy stuff I got to do through that. But what I'm trying to get at is if you had me come up here and sing today, you can encourage me all day long. It still means I'm going to sound terrible. Doesn't mean I'm good at it. We got to understand that each of us has a part to play in the body. And we've got to encourage each other in love, but at the same time, we can live unified to be like, hey, maybe that's just not a thing, chicken wing. Like, that just ain't it, okay? We can live out unity and love and still disagree. And that's okay. But we don't disagree like the world disagrees. We disagree while sitting at the table. We can do that. But we got to make sure we come to the table. So, live out unity and love. Paul goes on to say in verse 3 and 4 how we can live in humility. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest. We just talked about that a little bit. But each of you to the interest of others. So we talked about living out unity in love, that is to be in Christ Jesus and his love. Well, how do we do that? You value others above you, 100%. Paul says, how do you do that? Don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. No hidden agendas, if you will. Nothing to see what I can get out of it. See, this is what I love about her. I love about our Vine fam. I'm just going to be real with you. I'm not being prideful. I'm just staying the truth. Every person that's in this house today didn't come here to get anything. They came to give and to serve. And because they give and they serve, they were able to get something from it. But their first intention wasn't, what am I going to get today? Is Tyler going to throw candy at me at church today? Because if he doesn't, I'm not showing up. Like, it's not that. Like, we came to serve, lift each other up, but most importantly, lift the name of Jesus high. We value others over ourselves. And so for each and every one of us, if we're going to live out that unity and love, we're going to value others over ourselves. It doesn't mean we can't disagree. It doesn't mean that we have to nod and say yes and be politically correct. It doesn't mean that. It means there's a seat at the table, and I value you even being at the table. That's the important thing. So this is what I wanted to share when it comes to that, when you say value others above yourselves. And this is something that's really hard. Goes back to that question. If somebody's better than you at something, how do you feel? It'll show the condition of your heart. If you're happy, if you're angry, if you're mad, sad, glad, whatever that looks like, it's going to show your heart. Here's how it looks like valuing others over yourself. Paul will write this out in a minute, how Jesus did that for us. But there are people in this house that understand this. I started my career with a drugstore, okay? It's a store I frequent quite often. And if you know if I'm really sick, I don't pick up my prescriptions at this drugstore. So if you ever see a prescription in my cabinet that is not from Walgreens, you'll understand that there's some, he's really sick. My goodness, he went to a different store to pick this up. My goodness, that's not dogging him. This is what I'm going to tell you when it comes to that. I started my career with Walgreens, and there's a book. If you do anything on leadership, there you're going to see two people in an airport. Next time you fly, if you get to fly, there's a couple different people in the airport bookstore. When it comes to leadership, it's going to be John Maxwell or Jim Collins, okay? Those are the two guys. So the reason I'm bringing up Walgreens is Jim Collins wrote this book called Good to Great. And Walgreens was one of those companies, one of the places that I built my career at, left that career behind. I'm not in a career anymore. Praise Jesus. I don't have to be tied down in a career anymore. But it's where I started a career and tried to do something for myself. And even with the best of intentions, it still ended up being about me, not about Christ. So here's where I'm going with that when it comes to that. Jim Collins writes about five levels of leadership. Now, he didn't rip off John Maxwell. Maybe, I don't know. One of them. Anyway, John Maxwell has a book called Five Levels of Leadership, and he talks about the same things. And Jim Collins moves, and he talks about the difference between the good companies and the great companies. Okay? A good company is something that doesn't always last a long time. It's a good company, but it's not great. It's not sustainable. It's not something that goes and weathers the times. And he laid out what made the difference was there are different levels of leadership. And the fifth level is the pinnacle. It is the ultimate leadership. The difference between good and great companies is how many level five leaders it had in it. If you don't have any level five leaders in your company, at best you're going to be good, but you'll never be great. But if you have level five leaders in your company, I'm going to read you what the description is of that in a second. Level five leaders in your company, at worst you'll be good, at best you'll be great. I know that sounds crazy and counterintuitive, so here we go. This is what a level five leader is. They display a powerful mixture of personal humility and indomitable will. They're incredibly ambitious, but their ambition is first and foremost for the cause, for the organization, and its purpose, not themselves. I don't like the word company man because it ain't always about the company. But this is what that person is. They're humble. They have humility. It's not about them. It's not about their next promotion. It's not about what they have to do next. It's about the lifting up of others. Because, you see, the only way I found success at Walgreens is I had a team of people in a store, and I realized that if they got where they wanted to go, it was going to carry me far beyond where I thought I needed to go. How does that play out in the church? We have the greatest cause of all. We are sold out. The greatest cause of all. And that means there should be, right now, the world is knocking on the door of politics, knocking on the door of finance, knocking on the door of what is owed and victimhood and why everyone else owes something or why I don't like you because maybe you don't look like me or talk like me or sneeze like me. I don't know anymore. Or tweet like me. I don't know. We just, like I said, Twitter's outrage. So wherever we are, what I'm trying to get at is we serve the greatest cause of all. And if we want to see Jesus advance to the ends of the earth, a level five leader is great, but walking in humility is what Christ died for us to do because he did it first. So if we can do that, his love will be displayed. It won't matter what car we drive. It won't matter what our street address is. It won't even matter if we meet in a gym on Sundays. It won't matter where we are because his name will be lifted high. So what I'm trying to get at, the reason I was sharing with you good to great, is those great leaders in those companies have humility. And I will tell you here what I love about it is we have humility. There were people here late last night, loading in, like setting up church. There were people here this morning setting up church. There are going to be people when we're finished today tearing down church to serve the people who are going to be in a sweaty gym a little bit later today, even if we haven't met them yet. So as we value others over ourselves, doesn't mean we can't disagree. It just means I care more about you being at the table than I do about agreeing with you. That's going to set us apart in this world. Right now, everybody only wants to hear the same opinion, the same philosophy, the same everything around their table. And quite frankly, when Jesus called the disciples, I don't think they were all fishermen, were they? We saw some tax collectors. We saw some zealots. Some nationalistic people inside of it. We saw people that were rejected by the world, and he brought them in. That's what we get to reflect in the church. And that's what Paul is writing the Philippians is, see the beauty in diversity and be united in the love of Christ. But what can stop us? It goes back to that question. How do you feel if someone is better than you at something that you love? The only thing that'll stop us is pride. Pride. That's what stops Satan. Pride. Pride. Pride will unite you in death to Satan. Pride. Pride. In this world we live in, it's all about how much you can differentiate yourself from everyone else. Your pride. Your pride. But in the church of Christ, as we surrender to him, we're already differentiated from this world. It's because it's not about us, it's about him. How did Jesus describe that? Let's go to Luke 18, verse 10 through 14, and see how he talks about pride in our life and see how that can play out even if we don't realize it. Luke 18, verse 10 through 14, and it says this. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, before we go on, let's think about tax collectors. How many of us like the tax man? Before you do it, white lightning. I know, it is what it is. We got to keep everybody ready to go. The G-man, the T-man, the revenuers too, right? Like, how many of us like IRS people? Imagine tax collectors in this time. They were Jewish men who collected taxes for the Roman government against their own people and profited off of it. So imagine today if the IRS agent came in and it's the one who audited you, who told you you owe more than you could ever give them back. What if they came in? Would you welcome them in this house or in your house? I would, and lock them in and probably do something stupid. But it is what it is, all right? Like, we all, honestly, the pride of our heart can get there. But in this time, there are two people walking in the doors of the church. The ultra-religious one who seemed to have all the answers and the one that everybody hated. And how do they play this out? The Pharisee stood by himself, and what does he pray? God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. How many of us say that? Let's be real. Lord, I ain't like them, am I? Like, thankful I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Holy cannoli. How many times do we go before the God? Hey, I'm just going to get real. How many times do we pray that to the Lord? Let's be real. Lord, I'm not this person. Why in the world are they getting this and I'm not? How does this play out? The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. How do we value others above ourselves, and where does that play out? What's the last thing you prayed? That's when it hits home. And that's how Jesus convicts me. Is my prayer all about me? Because if it is, I'm not valuing others over myself. And it's going to only be about me. And if it's only about me, it's only going to lead to death. But if I'm valuing others above myself, and I'm praying others above myself, it'll lead to life in humility. Doesn't mean that I don't pray for my needs, but isn't he the one who knows when a sparrow falls? I think he knows my needs before I even ask it. But if I get to partner with him in praying for someone else, how much greater is it that I get to be a part of that? But I will tell you, many times my prayer has been like that Pharisee more than the tax collector. Here recently, it's been more like the tax collector. I'm not going to lie to you. But it's been that way. And the question for all of us as we walk in humility is, what does our prayer look like? Look at that tax collector. Like, think about him. He understands what we understand. To come to the throne room, to the grace of God, by the grace of God, get to stand in his presence and have a meal with him, community with him. We're not worthy of that. Yet he still loves us enough to make a way for us. That's how we live this unity out in the world and value others over ourselves. I love how Jesus ends it, because here's the thing. All throughout the Word of God, you can see God opposes the proud. That's what got Satan thrown out of heaven. Because the proud think they can save themselves, but the humble know that there's no way that we could ever earn salvation. There's no way that we could ever get it all figured out. So here's the thing that we have to understand. We can either be proud and against God, or we can be humble and with God. A better way to say it is, we can be humble before God, as the old pastor used to tell me. We can be humbled before God or be humbled by God. The choice is ours. We can be humbled before God, or we can be humbled by God because we're in our pride. But the choice is ours. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather humbly go before the throne knowing that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior than to stand up and tell Jesus how great I am. Because the last time I looked in the mirror, I certainly wasn't. And I don't know about you, but that's what we can share with the world. So let's see how Paul talks about the incarnation of Christ right here and why this matters for each and every one of us. He wraps up Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11, and tells us how to live in humility. So we're not only got to live out unity and love, we got to value others above ourselves, or value others above you. He says this, verse 5 through 11, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider it equality with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So for us to see Jesus, he humbled himself. Like, we talk about this, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and formless. The Spirit hovered over the deep, over the depth. And God said, let there be light. And he separated the light from the darkness, because there was light. He separated the light from the darkness. And that was the first day. There was morning and evening, or day and evening that day. All three were there. Jesus was there from the foundation. God, the Father, creator, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the deep, and Jesus, the light, was there from the very beginning. So instead of saying his happy heavenly place, he came down here to bring us to his happy heavenly place. He stepped down and humbled himself to come here for us. How many folks would do that for you? Parents, you would say you do. We do that. Parents do that for us, but it's a picture of Christ when they do. How many of us can say that? What if we did that? What if we stepped down from our high place to step down to where we needed to be to serve who Jesus has called us to serve? It may be in the job you hate. It may be in the neighborhood you hate. It may be in the place where you don't think you should be, but God has called you to be there. Jesus has called you to be there. Why does it matter? By walking in humility, people will say, I don't get it. I don't know how you do it. And I can say, I don't either, but by the grace of God. I don't either, but by the grace of God. And we get to have a conversation. So the third way to live out humility today, and the most important way, to be quite honest with you, is to surrender your life to Christ. You see, if our life is surrendered to Christ, then we'll value others over ourselves, because we know Jesus did that for us. And through that, we'll live out unity and love, because we'll live in the love of Christ Jesus. You see, false humility won't get us there. That Pharisee had false humility. He had religion all day long. His false humility, he checked off his box. God, I tithe, and I ain't like these other people. Especially that one sitting right over there. I ain't nothing like that one sitting right. Did you see how many Snickers they ate today at church? My goodness. They ate M&Ms during the service. How dare they, Lord? Like, false humility and religion will not get you there. Understanding that we're sinners in need of a Savior that needs God's mercy washing over us and his grace every day. That's what sets it apart. Why is this important? Why am I sharing this with you? If you're kicking the tires of who Jesus is, I just want to be real with you. Shared it on our Bible Devo this week, just to be quite honest with you. And it's something that, as I was getting ready for this week, it just reminded me more and more. Billy Graham always did this at his crusade, so I'm just going to lay it out here for you. Verse 10 says it this way in Philippians 5, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. When it's all said and done, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Everyone in hell, on earth, and in heaven. The difference between those that are in heaven and those that remain in hell will be those who declare Jesus as Lord on this side of eternity. Because one day we all will. And the most hell of it all, the most misery of it all, is for one split second, all of humanity from all of earth will get a glimpse of what heaven is. The thing that we've been searching for, the thing that's bigger than us, will finally for a moment be there in front of us, and we'll get to experience it. And the ones that confessed and surrendered their life to Jesus on this side of eternity will follow him into the new heaven and new earth. And those that go to hell will have to live for all of eternity seeing what they missed. They'll say that everyone who tried to show them that Jesus is who he says he is, they'll see what they missed. And the hell of it all, as Billy Graham says, is for all of eternity, that split second will be in their mind. All of eternity. And so why we do what we do is so that all know that everyone will bow at the name of Jesus. We want you to see Jesus on this side of eternity, not on the other side. Not on the other side when it's too late. We want you to confess Jesus as Lord now and then get to confess him later. And I'm going to get to sing good when it comes to get there by God's grace. Whatever he has me do. He'll definitely have me in the back, like I'll be in the back of the choir. Like my robe will be half on it because it's hot and sweaty. But I'll be back there. Yeah, I'll be doing my thing. I'll be good. But because I confessed him as Lord on this side of eternity, I get to step into that. And what we want you to know is we don't want you to miss all of that for eternity. Surrender your life to Christ. you can keep walking in your pride thinking you can save yourself, and I just want to be honest with you, that next raise ain't going to save you. That next relationship, it ain't going to save you. That next new address ain't going to save you. That next car that's coming out ain't going to save you. That electric car you want ain't going to save you. It just ain't going to save you. All the medications, all the supplements, all the healthy eat, it's not going to save you. It's not going to save you. Only Jesus can. So will you stay in your pride thinking that you can save yourself only to get to the end and realize that all that sin has a wage. And the wage is always death. And you can die trying to save yourself, or you can receive the gift of salvation for the one who has already died and rose again for us. And so that's what I want you to see today as we walk in humility. This isn't a beat up thing. This is a real thing for us to understand. The best way to walk in humility is to surrender our life to Christ. And for those of us that have, the question is, are we living our life fully surrendered to him so much so that it is attracting them to him, the something greater than they're searching for? Or is it attracting them to us? Us or him? It should always be about him. Always about him. So right now, if you are trying to stay in your pride, I just want to tell you, even though I'm talking to you about some hard things, Jesus isn't standing there in judgment. If he wanted to judge us, he would have never came down and been humanized. He would have come right away, died on the cross immediately, and went on. He would have never had the disciples. He would have never had relationships. He would have never had brothers and sisters. He would have never been rejected in his own town. He would have never been beaten, hung naked on a cross, dying and paying the penalty for our sin on that. And he would have never just loved us enough to let the same spirit that raised him from the dead live inside of us. If he really didn't care about us, if he really wanted to judge us, he could have been like the Pharisee and said, I've been perfect from the beginning. Why in the world would I come for them? But instead, he made a way for each and every one of us like that tax collector, realizing that we can never measure up. He's not standing there judging us. They're open it with open arms to welcome us. So, familiar verse, John 3:16-17 reminds us how much God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here's the question. How much longer will you stay in your pride trying to save yourself? How much more is the next big thing that you're searching for? Hey, we go to Mars. Is that gonna save you? We solve climate change and global warming. Is that gonna save you? We solve gas shortage. I don't know if there's one, but we solve it. Is that gonna save? No. But Jesus will. So with every head bow and every eye closed, if you would, we're going to say this prayer out loud for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time. We pray as a family. Nobody prays alone here. I want to tell you, it's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith. It's the receiving of the gift. It is the surrender of your life to Christ that will save you. So with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, live the perfect sinless life I couldn't live. Now the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you and for the first time you've given your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If you're watching online, wherever you are, if you're listening throughout the week, if you're watching online, you should see a hand that's raised. Click on that. If you're listening throughout the week, let us know at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698, wherever you are. Hey, if you're in the app right now, let us know. We want to celebrate this decision with you because I want to tell you the reason we do what we do is so that all would come to know Jesus on this side of eternity. And it's not by our work or our effort. It's by our surrender of him doing what only he can do through us. For the rest of us, we're going to We're going to sing here in just a minute, and I just want to say, hey, maybe right now God's pulling at some heartstrings, or maybe he's working on you, and I want to tell you, wherever you are, we're in this together. He's working on all of us. And together we're going to be able to be a part of something greater than we could ask or imagine. If we just continue to surrender to him, continue to value others above ourselves, we'll get to live out that love in unity. So would you stand and worship with us?
She never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
right. Well, thank you guys so much. As I was doing my dance moves getting ready for heaven. I done told y'all. So I'm so thankful for each and every one of you for being here with us today. It's an honor and a privilege to get to pray with you, to worship with you, and to lift Jesus' name high. And I want to let you know, there are a ton of people who are here to welcome you with open arms. And when I mean a ton, it's because we ate so much sugar today. But we're going to be ready for next week, and we're going to have more sugar just for you. So I hope you make plans to be here with us. I don't hope. I know you're going to make plans to come hang out with us next week in person, online, or in Vine Kids, wherever it is. We would love to see your smiling face. Have an awesome week. Join us next week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.